It's a real joy to welcome Andy to share with us today. Andy is Head of Church Relations. Is that your exalted title?
That's correct, yes.
Good, I'm glad to hear it. And Andy, how long have you been working with Open Doors?
I've been working with Open Doors for just over 7 years.
Great. I just wanted to set the scene as we pray, to think of what Open Doors does today. And there's a helpful introduction in one of the booklets that they actually have produced. Imagine being arrested for possessing a Bible, arriving for a service to find that the government has closed your church, being denied education or employment because you have a Christian name, finding yourself in prison because you talk to someone about Jesus, having to leave your home or village because of your faith, living in a country where there is absolutely no freedom of belief. This is the reality for many Christians around the world. And it's against that sort of context, that background, that Andy is now going to speak to us about the mission and ministry of Open Doors. But before he does that, let's pray for him. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing Andy to us here today. We thank you for his ministry, and we pray that you would use him to speak to each one of us. Challenge us and encourage us and inspire us, we pray, through your word and through the ministry of Open Doors. Be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, David, for your welcome. So great to be with you here at St. Andrew's Church in Malvern. What a beautiful part of the country you live in. I mean, to look out of your front door and see those hills is incredible. You probably get used to it, don't you? But for me, wow, it's incredible. We live in Birmingham, Ruby and I, with my wife and three daughters. And as Dave said, I've been my role at Open Doors as Head of Church Relations. And that's a huge privilege to be. Before that, I was involved in church leadership in Birmingham for about 10 years. And it's great to be with you. Her time over this past year, remarkable. Incredible, isn't it? Thank you so much for sharing that with us. You've touched my heart this morning, and I will continue to be praying for you and your family. And it's not the end of the story. And I believe that one day your mum and dad will have the relationship that you have in Jesus. It's one of the church in Iran, many people are saying, it's probably one of the fastest, or if not the fastest growing church right now in the world. It's incredible what God is doing. And we need to continue to pray for them and stand with them. I want to tell you a story about this lady. I'm sorry you can't see her face. It's just hidden for security. Her name is Kim Sung-hwa. When she was 12 years old, she went to a secret closet in her parents' house. She lives in North Korea. And I don't know how much you know about North Korea, but in North Korea, as a Christian, it's basically illegal to be a Christian. Even if you own a page of a Bible, it's enough to put you in prison. And not prison as we know, it's labor camp, intense labor camp, where there is hard labor from sunrise to sunset. And it's pretty bad. And it's not just you, but it's your children and your children's children. Next two generations could end up in prison as a result of you being caught with a Bible or even suspected of being a Christian. In the nation, they worship their leaders as gods. And in your house, you have to have pictures of Kim Jong-un and Kim Il-sung and the leaders. And every time you pass them, you bow. And if you don't, then you'll be put in prison for it. In fact, if there's a fire in your house, before you even think about getting your children out, you've got to get those pictures out. And if you don't, again, you'll be in trouble. And this lady, incredible woman, at 12 years old, Kim Sung-hwa, She discovered a Bible in her parents' house. She put her hand in a closet and there was a Bible. Now, in school in North Korea, teachers will tell the children to go and look for a black book in their house and say, if you find it, you need to tell us because it's dangerous for your parents, it's dangerous for you, and you need to protect your parents. So go and look, and if you find it, then come and tell us. And she finds this Bible and she reads the first chapter or the first verse in Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning. And she puts the book down and then she picks it up again. And then she goes, she suddenly realizes this is a Bible. This is the book that she's been asked to look out for from her teachers. And she puts it back in. She says for 15 days, she couldn't think about anything else because she didn't know what to do. In the end, before going to her teachers, she speaks to her father. And her father is able to tell her the good news about Jesus. And she decides herself to live a dangerous life, to follow Jesus, which is incredible. Colossians 4, which we just read just now, talks about devoting yourselves to prayer. Now, I know here at St. Andrew's, I know that you are a praying church. And I've not come to tell you, I think you need to pray more. I want to encourage you. I prayed before I came and said, God, what do you want me to bring today? And God led me to this passage around devoting ourselves to prayer. You know, when I meet the persecuted church around the world and I see them and I see their prayer life and their walk with Jesus, it just amazes me and it makes me realize just how much I've got to grow and I need to learn. I remember a friend of mine, a colleague of mine going to India and being in the church there where she was there to pray for them. And she was in this church prayer meeting. And they said, no, we want to pray for you. And as they did, the passion they prayed for the UK was incredible. She showed me a video of many of them just in tears as they're crying out to God on behalf of you and I for our nation. Just amazing. And I thought, how often do I do that for other nations around the world? And for my brothers and sisters in places like that. So Paul says to the church in Colossae, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. I believe those two things are really important as we pray. Firstly, to be watchful, to look out for what God is doing in you, in me, but not only in us, but in our community, in the people we work with, in the people we see. What is God doing? You know, in another passage, it talks about the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And, you know, as we pray, we can pray the things that are eternal, the things that count for eternity, the things that make a difference in the kingdom of God. So devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. I don't know about you, but I know how to be grumpy. I can be very good at being grumpy, my daughter Ruby will tell you. But there's something so important. You know, you cannot be grumpy and thankful at the same time, really, can you? That's pretty hard. And I believe that we need to become more thankful I know that I need to. Maybe you're greater there already. We had a lady with us from North Korea called Hey Woo. She was at New Wine a couple of years ago. I don't know if anyone was there and saw her, but she told her incredible story. And as she was about to leave, my colleague Eddie Lyle said to her, is there anything you've sensed God saying for our nation here in the UK? And she looked back at Eddie and she said, she said this. Let me just make sure I get this right. She said, cultivate, that's right, cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. Cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. And do you know what? That's what I believe that we need to do. We can so often complain and moan and groan. But you know, as we come before God and devote ourselves to prayer, let's be full of joy and thankfulness. So pray, being watchful and thankful. And then Paul goes on. Now remember, Paul is in prison for being a Christian and being a follower of Jesus. He's in prison for his faith. And I don't know about you, but if I was in prison writing to the church, now the prison he was in probably was not a great prison. He was probably chained to a wall. He was probably not fed very much. And if he was, it probably wasn't very good. I'm sure there was probably rats wandering around. And if that was me in that situation and I was writing a letter to the church, I think my letter would say something like, please pray for me, it's awful in here. Please pray that God would get me out. Would that be your letter? That would be my letter anyway. But no, what does Paul say? He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Isn't that incredible? He wasn't thinking about himself at all. He was thinking about how do I, in this opportunity where I am now, all the suffering I'm going through, how do I use this for God's glory? How do I get the message out? How do I proclaim the gospel to the people around me? And then Paul also writes this in Philippians to the church in Philippi. He says this, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result of it, it has become clear that throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. I think that's remarkable, don't you? That Paul is in prison and the church in Philippi have become more confident in sharing their faith, declaring their faith. I just think that's incredible. And I don't know what you would do. Say if your rector, Dave, here was arrested, put in prison for leading this parish. And the police were to come in here and to stand where I am now and to say to you, if you continue following Jesus, if you continue telling people about Jesus in your community, then you'll go to prison too. What would that do to you? Would that make you more confident in sharing your faith or less confident? Well, here in Philippi, it made them more confident. And do you know what the remarkable thing is? When you look around the world, when you go to countries like Iran and meet brothers and sisters, many of them have become more confident and are willing to live dangerously for Jesus. And there's something I believe that we need to learn about that, because we like our comforts, don't we? We like keeping things safe. We don't like taking risks. We're quite risk averse in our culture. But we need to step out sometimes and take risks for Jesus. Dangerous faith is the story of the early church. And following Jesus has never been safe. You know, even Jesus himself went to the cross. He was crucified. He was beaten. He was mocked because he followed. He did what his Father told him to do. This is the World Watch map. It shows the top 50 countries on the world where it's most dangerous to live as a Christian. North Korea has been number one on that list for the last, I don't know, 19 years now. It's been there a long time. And we produce this in order to help the church be able to recognize what's going on around the world and to pray for our brothers and sisters. And we produce this World Watch list, which goes through each country and just gives you three prayer points for each country, just to help you pray for the Christians in that country. Iran, by the way, is number 9 on that list. And this resource will help you do that. These are actually being printed as we speak. So what I have brought is this little leaflet here, which takes you through the top 10. And this one will also, if you want to order to have the whole 50 countries to pray for, then you can do that just by using this leaflet here. And I encourage you to do that. We launch the World Watch List each year in Parliament. This year we had 123 MPs come, which we were really delighted with. It's the most MPs we've ever had. And we presented them with this report, which just tells them a little bit more information about the trends we're seeing around the world, some of the things that are happening for Christians. And if you'd like to have one of those, you can. They're free. They're out there. Please do help yourself to those on your way out later. I just want to show you a short video now, which just takes you through the top 5 countries on that World Watch List.
What would you do if your faith put you in danger? If it meant facing insults and abuse, not getting a job or education, being assaulted, imprisoned, even killed? Hundreds of millions of Christians live in countries where choosing to follow Jesus means danger and persecution. And these are the five countries where their faith costs the most. Number 5, Pakistan, where Christians can be falsely accused of blasphemy. Christians are denied education and work opportunities. Churches are bombed. Christians are jailed on false charges. But Pakistani Christians are determined to meet to worship. Number 4, Libya, where there are only some 150 Libyan Christians. Churches for Libyans are forbidden. Christian migrants are targets, executed by militants or sold into slavery. But Libyans are coming to Christ through TV, radio and web. Number 3, Somalia, where Christians can be killed on the spot. All citizens are assumed to be Muslims. Militant groups want to eradicate all Christians. Owning a Bible can mean instant execution. But Christians meet in secret and many Muslims seek Christ. Number 2, Afghanistan, where Christians have to hide even after death. Islamic extremism is everywhere. Christians are buried as Muslims because their relatives would be punished. But people still meet Christ in dreams. Number 1, North Korea, where leaders are worshipped like gods. There is no freedom. People live under constant surveillance. 50 to 70,000 Christians are imprisoned. But in prisons and safe houses, North Koreans are coming to Christ. Open Doors exists to strengthen and support persecuted Christians, wherever they are and for as long as they need it. Through the gifts and prayers of Open Door supporters, our global underground networks are able to reach millions of Christians with food and medicine, spiritual care, smuggled Bibles and Christian books, training and legal advice. Homes are rebuilt, lives are rescued, churches restored. For over 60 years, Open Doors has stood with Christians whose faith puts them in danger, who dare to share Jesus no matter the cost. Because as Christians, we are family, one body, one church. And when your family is in danger, there's only really one question to ask. What will you do?
There's 260 million Christians today around the world who live in areas of where they are open to high levels or severe levels of persecution. That's one in eight Christians globally around the world. In Middle East and North Africa, that's four in five Christians are persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. And what will we do? That's the challenge, isn't it? And we're so delighted to be partnering with you here at St. Andrews. And one of the ways, I just want to share a few ways that you can stand with your brothers and sisters. Firstly, you can give. And we're just so thankful to Kay for what you did in your school, the way you were willing to, Naomi was sharing with us that how she came to the school with you, is that right? When you had your hair all shaved off in front of the whole school, and raised over £1,500 for the persecuted church. That's just, I think she deserves a big hand, don't you? That is just incredible. Thank you so much. There's many ways that you can give, and there's a little form out there that if you decide that you want to, we're encouraging people to consider maybe thinking about a prescription. Maybe you use Netflix, or you go for a coffee every week, and maybe in thinking about maybe matching how much you'd spend on that in supporting our brothers and sisters around the world. You know, just a few pounds each month can make a huge impact. and it can really support our brothers and sisters. So that's the first way, is to give. If you're interested, you can use that form to do that. Secondly, is to pray. To pray with them. I remember meeting a brother from Syria. He said, please don't pray for us, pray with us. He said, if you pray for us, you'll probably pray the wrong things. He said, don't pray for persecution to end. He said, we're promised persecution. The Bible says everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He said, but pray that we'll have the strength to stand strong when it does come. Pray that we'll remain strong and faithful to Jesus. So we need to pray with them. And I encourage you to do that. And we can give you all the resources to do that. And thirdly, speak up for your persecuted family. Those that are not aware of actually the state of how many Christians in our world are suffering persecution. Many people are completely unaware of that. But also we ask you, sometimes we might send you some information to write to your MP just to say, hey, please, will you do something about this? Or it might be to sign a petition. There's lots of ways that we can speak up for our persecuted family around the world. And we just encourage you to do that. I want to end by the way, we've got a tour that's taking place. Your nearest one, I believe, is in Coventry. And there's a pastor from Iran coming to speak at that, who was in prison in Iran for 3 years for his faith. And he's going to be speaking. And you can go on our website if you're interested in coming to be part of that, you can do. I want to finish with this. This is a man called Bahir, who I met recently. He's from Turkmenistan. He grew up in Turkmenistan. He used to be part of the former Soviet Union. And he said it was hard growing up there, particularly he was a Muslim. And he said just with the communism he faced, it was really challenging. But he said one day an evangelist from Moscow came to his town and told him the good news about Jesus. And he said, I just knew he was telling me the truth. And he said at 3 o'clock in the morning, he got down on his knees. And he said with tears rolling down his face, he gave his life, surrendered his life to Jesus. And he said the change in him was just so big. He said he knew that he had to go and tell people about Jesus. By the way, he was Christian number 7 in Turkmenistan. And he shared his faith with his family and friends. And many of his friends and family came to know Jesus. And so many, in fact, came to know Jesus. He ended up planting several churches around Turkmenistan. But one day, his best friend, who he had grown up with and trained in the KGB with, came to Bahir and said, Bahir, you need to stop telling people about Jesus or I'm going to report you to the police. It's completely illegal to share your faith and to witness in Turkmenistan. And he said to his friend, look, I can't stop telling people about Jesus. He's done so much for me. He said, there's no way I can stop. So his friend reported him to the police. He ended up in prison, where he was beaten and tortured every day for his faith. The guard said to him, deny your faith in Jesus and we'll stop. But he refused every time. He said they put nails in his body. He said they put him in the electric chair 5 times. But every time he refused to deny his faith in Jesus. His friend was there while he was being beaten and tortured and said to Bahir, Bahir, I told you to stop telling people about Jesus, but you wouldn't listen. One day, an officer came into his cell and just beat him up so badly, he thought he was going to die. And he said that he put his foot inside of his mouth, and he was pushing his head against the concrete floor. And he said to Bahir, Bahir, this mouth will never speak the name of Jesus again. And then he took his foot out of his mouth, and Bahir, with a little bit of energy left in his body, looked up at the officer. And he said, you can stop me talking about Jesus, but you will never change what Jesus has done in my heart. With that, a couple of weeks later, he was released from prison. And he said, I don't know why, so I think they just gave up on me. And he ended up seeking refuge in another country for a while, where he's now works for Sat7, which is a TV broadcasting company, which broadcasts TV around the Muslim world. And he said, every day, he gets to tell people the good news about Jesus. But one day his friend, who reported him to the police, I don't know how he got hold of his phone number, but he phoned him. And he said, Bahir, can I come and see you? And Bahir said, remembering he's the man responsible for him going through all that torture, He said, it's coming up for Christmas. Why didn't you come and spend Christmas with me and my family? Talk about forgiveness. And his friend came and spent Christmas with him. And he said, Bahia, he said, my life has fallen apart. He said, I became ill and I couldn't work anymore. He said, I became an alcoholic. He said, my wife and children left me. He said, the difference between you and me, he said, when you needed your God, he was there for you. He said, when I needed my God, he wasn't there. Will you introduce me to your God? And Bahia had the privilege of leading his friend to faith in Jesus Christ. After Bahia told me this story, I said to him, Bahia, it's an incredible story. Thank you for sharing it. I said, would you give me permission to share it to churches in the UK when I go and speak? And he said, yeah, of course you can. But he said, please make me a promise. And I said, yes, what's the promise? And he said, whenever you tell that story, will you tell them this? He said, if I had to go through all that suffering again, I would. And then he said, because Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. And that's what I want to leave you with, friends. Jesus is worth following. He's worth giving everything up for. Even Sahar having to leave her country, not go back to her country. It's worth it, isn't it? Worth following Jesus. And I want to encourage you. Don't ever give up following Jesus. Let's remember to stand with our brothers and sisters who are willing to give up everything to follow Jesus. Shall we pray together? Maybe as we pray now, as we're in an attitude of prayer, maybe God is speaking to you. Perhaps there's people here this morning that you've never really fully surrendered your life to Jesus. And you hear these stories of people who are willing to risk everything. And you're thinking, wow, if they're willing to give up everything, maybe he's worth following. And this morning, you can decide to follow Jesus too. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, actually, I've lived life a bit safe. Not really taking the risks that I could have done. Maybe you're sensing that you want to commit to God today. Say, hey, I want to take a few more risks. God, I'm scared, but help me. Help me to be a bit more courageous in the way I live out my faith. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. Just so that I know who I'm praying for, if that's you, either you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, or you're saying, hey, I want to live a bit more courageously, can I just see your hand, just so that I know who I'm praying for, and I'll pray for you. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, you see these hands. You see these people. And thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for their desire to want to follow you. Lord, anyone here this morning who's choosing for the first time, thank you, Lord, that if we take one step towards you, you come running towards us. Thank you that we can know your forgiveness, your cleansing, that we can be free to have a relationship with you, Jesus, today. And Lord, for those who want to live a bit more courageously, take a few more risks. Lord, would you give us the strength to do that? Thank you that your Holy Spirit enables us to live more courageously for you. Fill us afresh. Pray for each one here, Lord, who wants to live a bit more courageously. Would you give them your Spirit to enable them, Lord, to do that. And as opportunities come, give us the strength, Lord, to be able to stand for you. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who share our faith but not our freedom. And we ask that you'll be with them, those in prison this morning. Let them know they're not alone. Lord, give them the strength to carry on. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you, you're worth following. Amen.